Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for an opportunity once again to come and worship you. And as we seek you, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us, that we might hear your still small voice, and that your Spirit would impart to us the words we need to hear this morning. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. If you can take out of your worship folder the sermon notes, you can have an opportunity to fill in the blank there or add additional notes as God speaks to you. If you're listening online, there is a PDF file that you can download with the sermon notes and the meditations for this week, which is on the other side of your sermon notes. I guess after this week, my question is simply this: how would you respond? Or how would you have responded? For over 100 years, a baseball game has been played pitting the two main political parties in the United States. This week was that game. And the day before, early in the morning, a man came up to two congressmen and asked if a group that was on a certain field were Republicans or Democrats. And they answered that they were Republicans. And then those two congressmen left to go to the Capitol building. What was an ordinary day and an ordinary moment changed in an instant. The man then approached the field and began firing a gun upon the congressmen gathered there. Representative Scalise went down hard at second base, badly wounded. What would have been your response in that situation? Almost everybody immediately sought cover, diving behind trees, cars, and the people on the field huddling in the dugout. And three were hit, two in critical condition. One person outside of the field had their phone and began recording the event. And you could hear more than 50 gunshots fired. Fortunately, the one congressman who was badly wounded had a security detail with him because of his high rank within Congress. The security detail was made up of two Capitol Hill police officers. And their response was to immediately attack the shooter, putting their own lives at risk. The Capitol Police, because of their reaction, took the shooter's attention away from the congressman to themselves. And eventually the shooter went down. In the aftermath, one senator would say on TV, if those two officers had not been there, it would have been a massacre. There had been no way to protect ourselves. So we note that without the officer's intentional response, the situation could have turned out much differently, much more grimly. Lives would have been lost. Over the last few weeks, we've been celebrating key moments with God. For Ascension Sunday, 3 weeks ago, Jesus, who fully revealed who God is alive after death, and yet in a key moment, leaves the disciples, ascending into heaven to be with God the Father, with the promise of another who would come and help the disciples. And then on Pentecost Sunday, the gift of God the Father, whom we know as the Holy Spirit, is another key moment in our lives with God. The Holy Spirit is poured out into the lives of all who believe. God not allowing his followers to be left alone, but joining them, residing in them. The Holy Spirit not only strengthening and leading the believers, but also actively drawing those who don't believe into a relationship with God. And last week, Trinity Sunday, we learned about the mystery of God, that within the one true nature of God are three distinct eternal divine beings, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one who is three and the three who are one. We can try to understand this mystery of God, of who God is, but we must remember that God is God and we are not. And not all things will be revealed to us. And yet in a key moment with God within the pages of the Bible, we too can discover this triune God who loves us, who seeks us, who wants to be with us and us to be with Him. A God who reveals Himself to us. If we would just seek God, if we would be more intentional about our effort to know God better, we would find that triune God. Now, as we've been celebrating these key moments with God by wearing different colors, we come to yet another key moment with God, another color, and today's color is green. Green. The color green is in the Christian calendar depicts the season oftentimes called ordinary time. Ordinary time. Now, you may be thinking, if this is a key moment with God, why is it so ordinary? Why is it so ordinary? Let me say that it is ordinary, and yet, on the other hand, it's everything but ordinary. It's an extraordinary moment. Green is a key moment with God. And we note that it's our response, that it's our response to and with God in the ordinary that makes it extraordinary. In this morning's scripture, Moses has led the Israelite, God's people, from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And when the people rebelled, he had to lead them through another 40 years of wandering in the desert until they were prepared to totally commit themselves to God and to enter into the promised land that God had given them, a land flowing with milk and honey. A land where God's people could put down permanent homes, and a land where they could grow together in old age and worship God freely. Doesn't that sound nice? A place where you can find your provisions, a place to call home, a place where we can find peace with God each and every day. And yet, as we watch the news, we see how our world at times seems to be moving more towards hatred or violence or chaos instead of love, peace, and order. In preparing this sermon, I read through this book I have called The Jewish Holidays about this morning's scripture, and it said this about this moment, this key moment with Moses and the Israelites on the one side of the Jordan looking to cross over to the promised land. They said this: Moses is speaking to the children of Israel on the far side of the Jordan. He is trying to evoke for them life with a capital L that awaits for them on the river's far bank if only they will cross over and begin to live it. You can cross over and not live it, but he wants them to cross over and live life. If only they would respond to God's leading with trust and faith, to follow God's direction for life as contained in the commandments, the decrees, and the laws, and do it with intention. If the Israelites would observe God's command in the land they will cross over the Jordan to possess, if they would do it, they would do it so that. Well, read it with me, what Moses says. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. You see, our response to God in the ordinary becomes a key moment with God. A moment we will either trust God and follow Him or not trust God and not follow Him. And as we follow God, it impacts not only our lives, but our children's lives and our children's children after them. You see, we have to note that each key moment with God is a key to our future and the future of those who follow us. Imagine if the detail of those two Capitol police who were at the scene of the shooting this week had been mall cops with no firearm training or no tactical training. Not only would they not have probably survived, as the one senator said after the shooting, it would have been a massacre. In fact, in the one article I read about this incident, They specifically wrote it was due to the extensive training of the two police officers that allowed them to respond to the shooter that allowed the people to live. And so we notice Christians, we must train ourselves. We must train ourselves to observe and follow God's commands, Jesus' commands that he gives us so that we might live life with a capital L. It's not a passive action God wants his people to take, but an active, intentional life to lead and to live. Read with me what God says through Moses to his people about how to live life. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You know, when I read this, I see action words like impress them, talk about them, tie them as symbols, write them on the door frames of your homes. God knows us and knows we need to be reminded, to be people of action, that we need to surround ourselves, and often we need to see visual reminders like the mezuzah to remind us who our God is. That God is our God. That we are children of God first and foremost and not children of the world. Chuck and I became friends my last summer in college. He, along with three other guys, and I shared an apartment that summer. And one weekend, Chuck's family gathered together, his two sisters, their husbands, his parents, his grandparents, along with a couple of nieces. And so Chuck invited me along with them. And as we got close to the grandparents' home, we stopped at the McDonald's in this very small town. In fact, that McDonald's was the only eatery or fast food there. Remember, this is a number of years ago, too. And as it happened, his parents were pulling in, too, with the two grandchildren in tow to the McDonald's. And we ordered our food, and we sat down together. And then it happened. I couldn't believe it. His dad said these two words, "Let's pray. Let's pray." I thought everyone in this busy McDonald's at dinner time was watching us. As he bowed his head, I bowed mine too. Remember now, I believe that I'm a Christian. I grew up going to church, but to pray at McDonald's? Really? And not only did we pray, or he prayed out loud, and I'm sure everyone could hear that prayer. Then to top that off, that night, at Chuck's grandmother's house, we found out that she had not been doing well, and after a time of talking, Chuck's dad asked us to join him in prayer for his mother's health. But it wasn't just a prayer. He anointed her with oil, and people, the family, got up and laid hands on her. I had never seen this before. I'm like 20 years old. Do you think these were key moments with God in my life? You see, it was in these two moments I encountered a family who took God at his word. When God said to give thanks to him for his provisions, they gave thanks to God. And when God said to pray for the sick and anoint them with oil, they prayed for the sick and anointed them with oil and laid their hands upon them and prayed for them. You see, we need to note that they were people who obeyed God as much as they could. Their love for God was evident in their daily lives. Each day of ordinary time is a key moment with God, or can become a key moment with God. Now, I imagine Chuck's mom and dad had received training in how to know God through Bible reading and through attending church, to know that God had some requirements for them in order to live life with a capital L. and then to be obedient to God by implementing certain actions in their lives on a daily basis. To love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. On one hand, they lived ordinary lives in an extraordinary way to the glory of God. And because of what they did that night, we have to note that Chuck's family made an impression on a young man, on me, that has influenced me throughout the rest of my life, long before I became a pastor, long before God had called me into ministry. And I would implement these acts of obedience in my life. You see, that day they inadvertently passed on a demonstration of people who truly believed in God and lived it out in ways of obedience I had never seen before. In a way, their demonstration of faith was passed on to their child's friend, and I hope will be passed on to his children and their children's children one day. You see, we have to note this. What we do, how we train ourselves to live lives in obedience to God, not only impacts us, but could impact generations with an S. To live life with a capital L in the Lord. Today is an ordinary day, but today is another key moment where we will either live in obedience to God or we will not. It's not a high calendar Sunday in the Christian year, yet it is the first. Today is the first key moment with God in regard to how we will order our response to God. Not just this first Sunday in green, but every Sunday in green. It doesn't matter how old you are. You influence people whether you know it or not. You see, the police were able to have a correct response because of their training. And not just because of their training, but because they continued to practice for a moment like what they encountered this week. Chuck's parents lived out their Christian life in public and in private because of their training they had received. But not only the training they received, but the practice they continued to live. And we too can live out our days as we train ourselves each day to love the Lord our God, the one true God. As Moses shared with the Israelites God's marching orders, did you catch this one part about the timing? When you lie down and when you get up. When you lie down and when you get up. So that little Shema Israel prayer that goes in the mezuzah is actually taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It's right here on the back of your sermon notes. The rest of the Shema Israel is there too, which includes scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 11 and Numbers chapter 15. And so my task, my challenge for you this week is to take this prayer that the Jews pray every morning when they get up and every evening when they lie down. My challenge is for you to do the same this week. At least the first paragraph, every morning and every night, to get up and to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates." Every morning, say that prayer. Personalize it. Hear, O, your name. Love the Lord your God. Or the Lord our God, the Lord my God, the Lord is one. Now, you might say to yourself, you know what, I don't have any kids. I'm too young. And I say, I don't care. Tie them on your door frames. Tie them, bind them to your hands and put them on your foreheads. The commands of God, because it'll make a difference in somebody's life. You just don't know who it is, but God does. So each morning, rise and pray the Shema Israel. Each evening as you go to sleep, the last thing, pray the Shema Israel. And center your heart on God. And God will bless you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. God, we are grateful that you give us these reminders and ask that as we faithfully obey your commands, that as we impress upon our own lives your words, that you would use us, that you would use us to not only worship you, but to be examples for you of a life well lived, a life lived with a capital L, and that you would be glorified. We thank you, Lord, for the faith of all who have gone before us, who have brought us to this place in our lives. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to step in to that history, that we might be faithful followers, and that we might be, in a sense, men and women of faith who pass it down to another generation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.